You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Media 24 is set to close several of its mainstream print publications, including some of your favorites, City Press, Rapport, Beeld, and Daily Sun. MoneyWeb has reached out to Media 24 CEO Ishmet Davidson, who would neither confirm nor deny the reports. We speak to Anton Harber, Executive Director for Free Expression, on the possible consequences of this and take a look at South Africa's media landscape in general. Anton, thank you very much for your time this evening. To your knowledge, what's going on?
I guess we're hitting a critical moment in a process that's been underway for some years, but is coming to a head. You know, I certainly feel very sad that we're losing major newspaper titles, and I think this is just the beginning. I'm quite certain there will be other major titles that are likely to follow shortly thereafter. But what we really have to understand is the impact it has on our news, our economy, our society generally, because we're talking about titles that were in the past very influential. They tended to set the news and political agenda. They do so less now, but they have been important. And the way news is produced and consumed and plays its role in our society when it's online rather than in print is different. We have to understand that difference and the impact it will have on us and our society.
What is that difference and that impact?
Well, I think the real danger is that it creates news gaps, news holes. I mean, if you look at Media 24, for example, I expect they will put their energies into their big online product, News 24, which, of course, is the biggest in the country. And it's significant, but it's by nature a national product, and where we'll see gaps, we already see gaps, is in local media, is in local news. Less and less coverage of local news, whether it's small town or whether it's Johannesburg and Cape Town. I think we already have gaps in our coverage, and I think this will make it worse.
These gaps that you speak of, Anton, does this then present an opportunity? I think when I read this, the first thing, my heart bled for colleagues, because maybe let's start here. You can explain to our listeners, some who are not familiar with how this whole works, right? This whole thing works, rather. So let's take one publication, City Press, for instance, but maybe that's a weekend. Let's take a daily, Daily Sun, for instance. How does it work,
yes,
right? You got a day team, you got a night team, you got printers, etc. Talk us through the value chain of the entire thing.
Certainly. Well, where newspapers in print are different from the online product is that they edit, they process, they curate much more than is done online. You know, story breaks, online media puts it up. It goes through a very quick process. It's probably fact-checked after it's been up a while. And it's usually short and sweet. Newspapers have long articles, have short articles. They signal to you what's the most important news of the last 24 hours. They make clear what's opinion and what is hard news reporting. Mm-hmm. And online is much less edited and curated and organized and fact-checked than print is. Mm-hmm. So the product you get at the end is different. There's no question.
Absolutely.
There's also big differences in the way it's consumed.
Yeah.
You know, you sit down with a newspaper, you get an overall picture of a view of what's happened in the last 24 hours. It is only one view, but it is a view of that. Online, you're much more reading little bits and pieces, and very often it's in a silo. It's not a product that sits at the center of communities the way newspapers have done in the past. Mm.
Anton, is it a financial issue as well, right? You mentioned that this has been a long time coming. We understand with the proliferation of online and technology, things change. But you also have some citing, well, it's just not financially feasible. But you take a look at what just happened with the elections. each and every single media house went all out, took out all the resources, which kind of gave you an idea, well, it may not always be about money. What is your understanding?
No, there's no doubt that what motivates a lot of journalists, for example, is not money. And they're out there working their butts off during the election because they're dedicated to their job and doing a good job. There's no question that at the root of this lies the fact that it's so much cheaper to produce an online newspaper than it does to print and distribute one. But you know, you also have to be aware that it's not simply a case of all of this moving online, because what you're finding is that online it's much harder to sell subscriptions, it seems. Mm. And it's not as if all the advertising, the same advertising's revenue, is available to the news operations online. There's much less available because online the vast amount of advertising is consumed by the big tech platforms, by Google and Facebook and the like.
Hmm. You mentioned one of the biggest online publications in the country. Every second article has paywall, and it would be interesting to see just how many people actually subscribe and pay that monthly fee to be able to access good journalism. And so when you speak of some of the gaps, right, some of the stories that may fall through the cracks, what risk is there, right, when you also look at what the introduction of AI into the media landscape with so much misinformation as well? Is it fair to say that anyone can be a journalist these days?
No, anyone can communicate online to the world. That doesn't make them a journalist. Mm. A journalist is somebody who checks their facts, who verifies, who goes through a professional editorial process. So anyone can do that, but that's what you have to do to separate yourself from those who just put rubbish and misinformation and disinformation online. One of the greatest dangers, of course, is that online there's a proliferation of dangerous disinformation and hate speech, etc. So that's one major issue we have to confront. But I think there's a real concern that the quality of our national discourse, our national debates, our national discussion, whether it's about, you know, how to fix our economy or how to shape our politics, that the quality of that will suffer because of the nature of online news.
Mm. Colleagues who may possibly be losing their jobs, not all of them may be absorbed into the online space, and you'll find that there are some who are going to be starting their own things. When we take a look at what SANEF as a body as well, should its mandate be much broader, right? More so when we speak of misinformation, now you're going to be having a lot of people who are going to be going online and just, it depends. We're not putting everybody under the same cover. But you're going to have a lot more people who have a lot more free time, who can do whatever it is that they like online. Bodies like SANEF, what role can they play in such instances?
As a society, as a country, we need to be thinking about how we deal with dangerous disinformation, and we need to deal with the gaps in our news coverage and how we're going to fund and back and make news and journalism happen. And bodies like SANEF, I think, need to organize and push to make our country as a whole aware of the need to rethink how we make journalism and news, how we fund it and how we support it and back it, and how we deal with disinformation.
Hmm. Publications that are existing, that are left, what other creative ways are there Is this it? You know, you go into a coffee shop and it also goes according to age. You'll notice an elderly gentleman who's got a newspaper, who loves the feel and the touch of it, or someone who is in their 40s who loves the feel and touch of a newspaper still. Is this it for those people who go to a coffee shop, pick up their newspaper every Sunday, pick up your newspaper? Is this it?
Well, one would hope that there's now that what this does is bring a wave of innovation on the internet to provide news and discussion and debate and information to fill that gap. That's what one hopes for. And that's what we really need. But to have that, we have to work out ways to finance it and support it and back it. So yes, those like me who love to hold and page through a newspaper, well, I think that won't be the case for much longer, but one hopes for new online products that move into that gap and provide us with what we need in terms of news and information.
Anton, thank you very much for your time this evening. Anton Harbour, Executive Director for Free Expression.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.